And for a debate on this endorsement and more, we have Robert George, Associate Editorial Page Editor for the New York Post, and Donna Brazil, a nationally syndicated columnist who also teaches at Georgetown University. And I'm here in the same room with Donna. I love these East Coast swings. Thanks, guys.
It's a great honor to be in the room with you, too. Thank you.
How are you doing, Robert?
Wonderful to, and it's so wonderful to be on the air with two of my favorite African-American women in media.
Oh, boy.
God bless you, Robert.
We're starting out with all sorts of pats on the back. So I'm going to go to you first, Robert. Barack Obama, definitely someone with a broad constituency. What do you make of Congressman Jackson's point that, in a way, he has to reach the black community now, that he started with the Rainbow Coalition and now has to reach into the black community?
Yeah, indeed. I mean, it's somewhat ironic because people would say, well, you know, he's African American. He's actually literally African American since his father is African. But it's true, and I think, frankly, though, it shows the maturity of the African American constituency in the context, well, particularly within, we'll say, in the Democratic Party, that the African-American candidate has to ask for their vote and work for their vote just as well as the white candidate, the leading white candidate, in this case being Hillary Rodham Clinton. The community is looking and saying, you know, there are reasons why I could vote for Hillary Clinton. There are reasons why I could vote for Barack Obama. So Obama has to work and ask for that vote as well. He can't take it for granted.
And Donna, he can't take it for granted from the Congressional Black Caucus. They're split down the middle. 12 members of the CBC endorse Clinton. 12, excluding Obama, endorse Obama. What about that split as well?
I think Senator Obama is having a difficult time reaching African-American leaders, although he just received the endorsement of the nation's only black governor, Deval Patrick. The problem is history. Senator Clinton has a history with working with members of the Congressional Black Caucus as First Lady, of course, and now as the junior senator from New York. Obama has an opportunity to reach a large segment of the black community. The national polls right now are a reflection of a broader name identification and his historic connections. But Senator Obama can really win the South Carolina primary. Representative Jackson is right. The black vote will represent about 50% of the total voting age population. Black women will play an even larger role. They make up one-third of the electorate in South Carolina. Again, Obama has an opportunity to win in South Carolina. He will do very well in the first two contests. And then on February 5th, which is essentially a national primary day, over 30% of the delegates chosen that day will be African-American. So once again, Obama has a real shot at winning the Democratic nomination, despite what the national polls are saying.
What's so interesting here, though, is that the whole question of so-called identity politics has really been kind of turned on its head because, you know, on the one hand, people are looking at this as Barack Obama, black man seeking black votes and so forth. But, you know, if you take into the factor, as Donna said, the issue of black women, you know, are they supposed to be thinking of in terms of being black and going for the black man, or are they supposed to be thinking in terms of being women and going for the woman? And in fact, women in either party are more likely to vote, and so that is, in a sense, where the issue could really hang.
I want to turn us to another topic. California is burning, and the president plans a trip that will bring him to Southern California tomorrow. These wildfires have forced some survivors in and out of San Diego's Qualcomm Stadium. The president was on vacation when the levees broke in New Orleans, and he flew over 5 days later after the state of emergency. Superdome, victims there not always having water, sanitation. In terms of the federal response, Donna, how do you compare?
I think the White House responded almost immediately to the request by the governor to send in supplies. FEMA was on the spot in Sacramento almost instant simultaneously. Beau Chertoff, the Secretary of Homeland Security, as well as Mr. Paulson, arrived in California yesterday without all of the paperwork. I think they learned from their mistakes. Look, back in 2005, we thought FEMA stood for Federal Employees Missing in Action because they were missing for so many days and helping the people, the flood victims of Louisiana, as people stood out waiting for water. But yesterday, the White House released not just HUD to send in supplies, but other federal agencies, the Department of Interior, Department of Agriculture, making sure that people who are in the stadium have blankets, they have food, and I think they've learned the lesson. We should also give credit to the first responders in San Diego. They put together a local emergency call system that allowed them to alert 400,000 residents within hours of the emergency, so they were able to evacuate in a timely manner. So there are lessons to be learned from this process.
Robert, we're going to have to wrap this over our break. We are going to keep talking with you guys in just a second. So Donna, Robert, stay with us. We are talking with Georgetown Professor Donna Brazil and Robert George, Associate Editorial Page Editor for the New York Post.